Hello and welcome to another episode of the How to Scale a Business podcast. My name is Hector Santiesteban and I am your host for today. Our special guest is Mr. Rich Brooks. He is the founder of Flight New Media and also the founder of Agents of Change and helps people to grow through all things digital. Perhaps SEO has been his focus, but we're going to talk about all things digital marketing and growth. So Rich, thanks for hanging out with us today.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the invitation. Thanks so much, Hector.
Yeah, I'm excited. This is where I got my, my start, if you will. Now, that's not entirely true. I got my start in direct sales, but when I realized what the possibilities of the opportunities, perhaps, that were available in this digital space, in this digital sphere, and what businesses could do, I jumped in and found my way into podcasting after a number of years. I'm curious for you, though, Rich, what's your story? Catch us up on how you got to doing what you're doing, and then a little bit about how you're helping people now.
Yeah, so I started a lot longer before you did, Hector, just judging by how thick your hair is and how thin mine is. I started back in 1997, actually. And back then, I was doing medical sales for a company, and I was reading in the Boston Globe about this thing called the internet. And I couldn't believe that newspaper reporters knew more about computers than I did. So I went out, I bought a new computer, I sat down, I started playing around with the internet, I ultimately learned how to design some pages. And then after a while, I just decided that I wanted to make this my business, that I would build websites for people. And I didn't think it would last very long. I figured that after a couple years, maybe either designers would learn how to program or programmers would learn how to design. I had no business skills that led me to believe that I could hire people who were more talented than me to do these things and I could just lead the company, which is ultimately where I found myself. And so started humbly by myself building websites, had a client who wanted to give me more work than I could handle. And they said, if you don't hire somebody, we're going to have to take the business away and go somewhere else. So I hired my first employee and then just continued to grow over time. By that point, I was living up here in Portland, Maine, and I started to take on more clients. I started to learn new skills, started to learn search engine optimization, started getting into blogging, ultimately social media, so on, and just continue to grow my team. And now it's like 26 plus years later, and we continue to design, build websites. We've got a branding arm. We do a lot of the digital marketing, like search engine optimization, Google ads, Facebook ads, a little bit of organic email marketing and content creation. So pretty well-rounded in that regard.
Yeah. For businesses, I think they all hit a point where they realize that they've got to sell stuff. In order to sell stuff, they've got to get the word out. And so they start searching, how do I market my, and then whatever they're selling, right? How do I market my plumbing business? How do I market my lawyer business? And they inevitably end up down one of these paths that you talked about. You've found your way into doing all of them. For businesses who are coming into, they're hitting that place where perhaps they've figured out their product market fit, and now they've realized that the next bottleneck is actually to increase the marketing. How do you help someone navigate this, perhaps, let's just use complex world of digital marketing? There's all these avenues, there's all these different channels and ways to do it. So how do you help a business who's just trying to get their feet under themselves make that sort of decision?
I think because we don't work in a specific industry, because we work with a wide variety of companies, both in B2B as well as B2C, hospitality, healthcare, a bunch of different places, there's no one size fits all. And so it always comes down to my favorite part of the business, sitting down with an owner and just talking through what is the expected customer journey? And really understanding, because rarely do people come to me and they've never had a customer before. It does happen, but that's very uncommon. Usually they've been doing things at a certain point and they've plateaued and they're like, how do I get to that next level? Or maybe things have shrunk because there's more competition in the marketplace. So what we try and do is figure out what are the common ways that people get to you in the first place? And then how can we reverse engineer that customer journey so we can figure out what are those roadside attractions and information booths along the way where we can help guide people towards finding the solution, which is hopefully us, but not always the situation. So for some companies, especially in the B2B space, it may be about thought leadership on LinkedIn or prospecting on LinkedIn, as well as some content creation that might be blog posts or YouTube videos. On the B2C side, it may be more about Meta and Instagram, Facebook, that sort of things, still always driving traffic back to the website. I'm a strong believer that even if you get a physical space, you're always trying to drive people to your website where you can have that one-on-one conversation with them. So a lot of it's just trying to understand who is their ideal customer, what are the pain points that they're helping that person serve, and then how do you differentiate yourself from all the companies that are out there so you really are the only person serving that audience for a specific pain point, which can be difficult to do, but that's always the goal.
Yeah, it is an interesting conversation that I'd imagine a lot of people have to cross. And I would imagine that a part of the challenge is that there are a lot of shiny objects out there, perhaps. At least it may seem like it, or there's a new trendy thing, or there's the new platform, or are there some things that you think are fundamental per se, or things that I wouldn't say mandatory perhaps, but that are more important for someone to be focusing on than others? Or do you guide people towards a certain direction or a certain channel more than others?
That's a great question. And I hope that I don't guide people towards one platform over another just because I happen to like it better. I hope that what I'm always putting up front is where your customers finding you? Where are they searching for companies or solutions like yours? And let's go spend time there. There are certainly platforms that I like better than others. If it's B2B, like I said, LinkedIn and some sort of content creation. If it's more on the B2C side, it's probably going to be something more from Meta, but again, with the website. So I think it really just does come down to where your customer's already playing and then spending time there. The other thing is, being a business owner myself, you always need to be paying attention to the bottom line. So I've definitely had people come to me and said, I want more engagement on social media. And there was a time I got really excited about those conversations, but that was back like in the 2010s. I'm just not as excited about social media as like this differentiator, because everybody's on social media. So sometimes I have to have conversations with a person on what you're asking for is really kind of a vanity metric. Yeah, it's nice to get a lot of likes and comments on Facebook or even LinkedIn, but you can't keep the lights on because you've got a lot of likes or comments or shares. So I try and always take people to like, okay, so what is like a really good KPI for you? What are the things that almost always lead to business, or a good portion always leads to business? Like, is it that once you get somebody on the phone, you're going to make the sale? Is it that once you get somebody on your newsletter, what are those conversion points? And let's put our focus, because that seems to be an important part of the customer journey, let's put our focus on how do we get the right people to that spot so you can close them. Because at the end of the day, the companies that we work with are real world companies. They're not influencers just looking for vanity metrics. So I think for most entrepreneurs, they have to be focused on what is that bottom line. Yes, the metrics that get you there, like how much traffic do I get? How many conversions do I get? Those are critical along the way. But at the end of the day, are you keeping more than you're spending?
Right. And I think that a lot of people get caught up looking at these vanity metrics. They're not realizing that they don't contribute to revenue, because it seems like that's what everybody's chasing. We see it a lot in the podcasting space where people just, they want to get more downloads. They want to get higher on the rankings and higher on the charts. And we have to remind them that it may feel good to an extent, but in your words, it does not keep the lights on.
Right. And those things can be beneficial. For example, like if you are trying to raise your profile and get speaking gigs, having a certain number of people on your email list or having a certain number of downloads for your podcast every week, that contributes. That kind of rounds out what's going on. But at the end of the day, what is it you're trying to get? Yes, I love to rank really high for my keywords on the search engines. That helps me get business. But if I were to fall in those rankings and get more business for whatever reason, then that should be my focus. I think that a lot of companies do need help with their marketing, but there are other companies that are just crushing it regardless. So you have to figure out, as you look at the whole of your business, where am I weak? Am I weak in marketing? Am I weak in closing sales? Am I weak in my systems and operations? Am I weak in my hiring process? And focus on those pain points first. Yes, I think every business could probably improve through better marketing, but sometimes that may not be the fire that you need to put out first.
That was going to be kind of my next question. Are there any mistakes that you see businesses commonly make or make more frequently than others when it comes to implementing and integrating these sort of marketing strategies?
I think one of the biggest issues that I run into is that a lot of business owners don't necessarily know what some of their core metrics should be. For example, like I always ask businesses, what is your customer lifetime value? And I would say 1 out of 100 can give me the right answer or give me an accurate answer or an accurate estimate right off the bat. They usually have to go and figure it out. And to be honest, that should be a number that we're all familiar with because that informs every marketing initiative we do. And the number of times I've sent out a proposal and the client's like, oh, I could never afford this. And I'm like, but you just told me that for every new client, you know, you make $50,000. So depending on what that number is, all you need is X number of leads or sales a month, and you've got your entire year paid for. So sometimes people are so worried about what they're going to spend that they're not really thinking about what they need to invest to get there. And I think that's one of the problems is, and I'm not great with numbers, I'll be honest. That is definitely an Achilles heel of mine. It took me a long time to feel comfortable around numbers, but it is a critical piece of the puzzle because how do you know how much you should be spending on ads or SEO or even rent? If you don't understand what is the value of acquiring a new customer.
Yeah, this lifetime value, I don't want to say thing, because it's more than a thing, but it's something that more and more people are, like the first step is just even knowing it, right? Just even just figuring it out, which is a lot of people, they're blind to that. Or like you said, they're guessing and they're just going based on feeling and emotion. But all of a sudden, if you can actually figure out what that number is, it makes it easier to adjust, to fix, to improve. But now you've got some sort of baseline as opposed to just running your business off feelings.
And at the beginning, you do have to take some guesses at it. But if you figure out, okay, what's a typical customer worth to me each month? I mean, as simple as, and how many months do they spend with me? There's your, and also it should be really your profit margin on that customer, not just how much you make in general. Then you can start to have those numbers and then you refine it over time. And the other thing, talking about mistakes or things I wish I knew when I was younger, is the idea of project-based work versus recurring revenue. And this has probably been the biggest thing that I've implemented in my own company over the past, say, 5 years, is we were primarily driven by website sales for most of the time we've been in business. We get this huge intake, great shot in the arm, get a whole bunch of money up front or half up front, half at the end. And that was great. And then that was the end of the relationship. And so it was like, I was constantly on the hunt, constantly going to find new businesses to get new websites because the websites would last 5-7 years, whatever they might last. And hopefully we'd get that business, but we weren't even really talking to the clients. And even our SEO is project-based. Here, we'll do this SEO thing for you. And then good luck. As soon as we changed our approach and said, everything's going to, or as much as we can do, will be monthly, will be recurring. You're going to pay us a set fee for this many months, and then it'll roll over into eternal until you say stop. That changed the way we did business. It gave us more time to spend with each client over time, and we could implement the changes we were seeing. So we'd be able to pivot as well. But from a strictly business standpoint, all of a sudden, it's, I know how busy we're going to be for the next 3 to 6 months. I know if I have to hire people. I know if I have to go out and sell more. I know exactly what's coming down the pipeline. It lets me sleep better at night, and it ends up giving our clients better results. And then for us, it's like, we also know how much money we're going to make every month. And wow, is that a relaxing thought rather than I better sell 3 more websites this month or we're going out of business. And that's what I talk to a lot of young entrepreneurs about is what in your business could be sold as a recurring revenue model rather than just a one-off project.
Yeah, this is a really great point. When we get back from break, Rich, I'm going to ask, I'd love to hear either some success stories or some horror stories, but I'd love to leave some people with the tactics and the practical stuff that they might be able to take away. And so we're going to get into that right after this quick break. Hey, y'all, today's episode is brought to you by Amplify Media, and we are a podcast and content creation company. Well, we like to think of ourselves as platform builders because chances are you have a product, a passion, a mission, a message, something that you want to get out to the world, but you might not have the time, the team, or the tech skills to do it. Well, if that's the case, we can help. Go to amplifymedia.com. That's AMPLAFYmedia.com. You can also check the show notes for info. And now let's get back to the conversation with Rich. Rich, what I really enjoy about bringing on someone like you is that you've got a large sample size. You've had the chance to work with a number of different clients in a number of different industries doing a number of different things. And I think that gives you a depth of experience and wisdom, perhaps, that I think our listeners can benefit from. Are there any stories that stand out to you as things that either went really the right way or really the wrong way that kind of exemplifies some of the stuff that we might have hit on today?
Well, just recently, I was talking to a company who had been a client for ours for a while, and they have an interesting business in that they put on the midway shows at large state fairs. And so we built their website, very pretty website, and it was really consumer face. And one of the things that they did a few years ago is they decided to shift their business. They were going to keep the core business, but they were also going to start doing rentals of these rides. And they started getting some traction, like the Formula One racing and stuff, you know, setting up a Ferris wheel or setting up a roller coaster outside of that. And they wanted to do more. And they asked us if we could help them get that business. And we recommended that we write some search engine optimized content for the kind of people who would be going online to do a search. Because it's like the first time you're told, hey, for our next big event, we want to have a roller coaster. That's just not anything that people are trained for. So we created content, we optimized them for the search engines, and we put up these five pages for them. And then to be honest, like we didn't really hear back for a while. They just came back to us the other day. And they were talking about doing some more stuff. And we looked and we saw that their traffic was up quite a bit, especially to these pages. And I'm like, so how did those pages turn out? And they only invested a few $1,000s in these pages. And he said, we went from zero inquiries 1 year to over 350 inquiries the very next year because of the SEO work and the copywriting. And it was over $1 million in revenue. And I'm like, can I have a testimonial, please? Because that was obviously like a your mileage may vary kind of experience. But it was one of those things where it's, I see this time and time again, that good businesses, pivot was a word that was overused, but they continue to evolve and see new opportunities and try new things. And I think every business that is constantly trying new things, as long as it's intelligent, has a better chance of survival. People always say Charles Darwin, survival of the fittest. That's actually a very bad translation of what he said. What he said is it's the people or the creatures who are most adaptable to change are the ones who are most likely to survive. I see some of our long-term clients and they've taken on new lines of products, or they've shifted, or they've gone like this midway company. They've gone from a B2C company to a B2B company is where all their growth is. When I see that, that's really exceptional. Those are the stories, and leveraging digital marketing to get you there, because obviously they needed that help with the SEO to do that. But that opened up brand new doors for them. And I would say the growth part of their business now is in that B2B space, and they're continuing to double down on that.
Yeah, it's really cool to hear that it's something that everybody can do. Everybody has the ability to create a couple of pages that are well-researched and well-written to something that is very targeted and defined. And so I think it really makes it possible for a lot of people. I'm curious, on the other side, maybe fringe or maybe new or cutting edge, if you will, are there things that you guys are starting to pay attention to, or are there trends that you or what some might call fads, or things that you guys think are worth investing either time or attention, or even just that you guys are watching right now?
More than watching, and obviously I don't think of this as a trend, but I started dabbling in AI about a little more than a year ago. And obviously, I'm sure most of your guests come on in at some point, the conversation probably turns to AI because it is everywhere, right? And I think I moved from going to like, oh my God, this is such a cool tool, to, all right, how do we actually use this? And this is where we are right now at Flight, my company, is what are the ethical ways to use AI so that we can be better at our jobs and we can be more successful for our clients? Like, there's a lot of people who get excited about every new AI company that comes out, every new AI tool that comes out, and some of them are pretty slick. But to be honest, like, I've moved past that. And now I'm like, how does AI become part of the process every day? There's some ways it's very obvious. We do a lot of content creation for our clients, and the ability to use ChatGPT for ideation or to load it up with the personas of our clients and basically create content that's specific to them, that's kind of no-brainers. And helping us write what I call commodity content, like the generic social media posts that have to go up to promote a blog post. Perfect. Great. It does all that sort of stuff. But now it's kind of like, okay, how do we implement it in new ways? And one of the ways that I'm just starting to dabble in is how to use AI in terms of your analytics. How to use AI to get better reports, to understand what's really going on, to see trends as they're happening. There are some tools out there that I'm just starting to explore. And certainly you can quote unquote talk to your data if you load it up into ChatGPT, although that has its own problems. But I think that finding real world ways of using artificial intelligence, regardless of your business, is so critical, because we had a good year last year. And as I looked into 2024 at the end of last year, I was saying to myself, like, how do we continue our upward trajectory? How do we become more profitable? There's things that I can do. We can raise our rates. We can lower our expenses. But as I thought about all the different things that we could do, the number one lever that was going to have the biggest impact is improve productivity through the use of artificial intelligence. And I'm gung-ho on this. Some members of my team are adopting it. Other ones are a little bit more hesitant, but this is where everybody's going. And I'm definitely trying to light a fire under them for them to feel more comfortable and use more of these tools, because that's where the productivity, the next surge in productivity is coming from. And we want to be ahead of the curve, especially compared to other agencies in town or other agencies we compete with. We need to understand this and know how to leverage it in an ethical way.
Yeah. I got to imagine that it's like the seamstresses who didn't like the loom because they thought it was taking away their job, instead of realizing that now with the loom, they can build and create things way, way beyond what their limited capacities were before. And I think that's where we're starting to shift, is how do we leverage it to not replace, but to actually enhance? And I think that's the next step.
I think that's the approach that all business owners and all marketers should take. Is there's a saying, and it's been used a bunch of different times, but I heard it first with marketing, that marketers will not lose their job to AI, but marketers who don't use AI will lose their jobs to those who do. And that's what I'm trying to teach my team to do, is look, no one's going to lose their job because of AI, at least at my company. But if we want to stay in business, we have to be fluent in these tools, know which ones to use so that we can deliver work more efficiently and have different ideas than we were able to come up with. Some of my favorite ways of using AI is just literally having conversations back and forth to kind of flesh out some ideas that I may have had on my own, or just ask it to come up with some ideas and then take one of those ideas and run with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff here, Rich. This is really cool. And I know what I love is that it's been an evolution for you in terms of starting with websites and then growing to SEO and all these kinds of things that are layering on, because it's an ecosystem, right? And I'd imagine that when you get into it, that they all build upon each other and that they all can enhance each other. And of course, there's power to going deep in one channel and focusing. But I imagine that there's also value in utilizing much of that ecosystem as well. So you guys have been working on something, a little bit of a summit to help with that. Do you want to share a little bit about what you guys have been working on?
Yeah, thanks, Hector. So Flight New Media is my agency, but we also have this other brand we call the Agents of Change, which is a podcast. And it's an in-person conference here in Portland, Maine. For the first time ever, we're doing a virtual summit. 3 days, 30 speakers about all different forms of digital marketing. We've got SEO experts, social media experts, digital ad experts, AI experts, neuromarketing experts, the whole gamut. I'm going to be basically awake for 72 hours putting on this event. It's going to be April 24th through 26th. It's absolutely free. I think that the people who listen to your podcast would get a lot out of it. They can just go to theagentsofchange.com. They'll see a registration button. You can register for it. Like I said, it's free to attend. We do have some nice VIP upgrades if they're interested, but there's going to be tons of information that's going to be available for everyone. And again, that's theagentsofchange.com.
Cool. And we'll link all that up in the show notes. I want to thank you, Rich, for this wonderful conversation, really enlightening. And for all you listeners who stuck with us and made it here, we appreciate you. We would be forever grateful for a rating or review wherever you get your podcasts. And if you know someone who needs to hear this, or it's got someone who is working on building their business, hit that share button and send them a message. Let them know that you were thinking about them. And like I said, we appreciate you being part of the tribe. We'll see you on the next one. Later, y'all.